Thank all of you brought our special music today. It's been a wonderful, wonderful morning of worship. Let me ask, if you will, to look with me to a passage in the book of Matthew. We're going to think together this morning about the gift. One of the things that marks Christmas is it's a time of giving. And I hope that you've got all your Christmas shopping done. And by the way, do we still need to turn that up? Wayne, if you'll turn up the volume on the assisted part, please. Thank you. I hope you've got your Christmas shopping done. I think. Okay, moving right along. I'll listen to see if I hear a shout, because that'll be when you finish your shopping. I think I've gotten mine done. But I hope you and your family have a blessed, wonderful Christmas. And we still got, one more Sunday between now and then? And y'all are a blessing. Well, I want to talk to you about the gift. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2. There aren't any Christmas passages that are unknown or unfamiliar. They're all familiar. But they're all very special and very powerful. And it's really kind of a shame that we only do some of these things only at Christmas time once a year, because the Christmas story is so full of great, glorious gospel truth. And it's a story of God's gift to us, and not just our gift to others around us. Matthew chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Verse 2, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, referring to Isaiah's prophecy. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art thou not the least among the princes of Judah? For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. When they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented to him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. May the Lord bless the reading of his wonderful word. For the next few moments, I want to think about God's gift to us. In fact, the Matthew's Gospel said that the wise men, when they came bearing gifts, and little could they possibly have known the significance of those gifts. Gold and frankincense and myrrh. What kind of gifts were those for a baby? Well, first of all, the gold is a symbol of not only deity, but splendor and majesty and power and authority. And God's greatest gift to mankind was when God sent his only dear son to Calvary's cross to take our place on Calvary's hill. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold speaks of the preciousness, the value of something. And I think that at Christmas time, it's a good time for you and me to reflect on the majesty and the marvel of what it means for God to love us that much, to send us his gift of his son for our hearts. We'll talk more about that in just a moment. In John's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, that was speaking of the woman at the well, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it was that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." Jesus said, if you only knew the gift of God and who it was offering it, you'd ask of me that I might give it unto you. Oftentimes on Sunday when we get together, I'm praying for the service, and in my heart I'm thinking, Lord, I never know who may be in the service today, who may come with a lonely heart or a longing soul, who may come with an empty vessel, who may come with a wounded life, who may come that needs a good word from God, needs a word of hope and help and encouragement. Jesus said, I want to give you living water, and you'll never thirst again. The classic, wonderful passage on God's wonderful gift is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. In the next few moments, I also think about the marvel of God's gift, the gift that was marked by the giving of gold, majesty and preciousness and value, and frankincense. Frankincense was a spice, if you will, you used in the temple worship, in the offering of sacrifices, the giving of sacrifices. Little could the wise men have known that here was the Son of God who was going to lay down his life and be God's Lamb for our sins for all eternity. The gift of gold, the gift of frankincense, the gift of myrrh. Myrrh was used often in embalming practices. It was a practice often used in the Middle East to mark the adorning of someone's body before they're buried. How could they have known they were about to give a gift of myrrh as a gift acknowledging this is one who's going to conquer death, hell, and the grave. He's going to overcome death and on the third day come out of that grave to live forevermore. Every gift the wise men brought him was a picture of the majesty and the marvel and the might of our wonderful gift, Jesus Christ himself. Gifts were a significant part of that first Christmas. They're a special part of our celebration. And I want to look at four of them together this morning for just a moment. The gift of Christmas is God's gift to us of light. Bible says that men walked in great darkness, but God sent a marvelous light. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined, Isaiah 9:2. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Several years ago, Libby and I decided we lived in the North Alabama area where we were raised and grew up. And there was a place nearby that I never had been before. I don't remember if Libby had been before or not. Cathedral Caverns. Anybody ever been to Cathedral Caverns? It's like a mammoth cave in Mexico. Cathedral Caverns was one of those places where they gave you tours down the cave. And you went way, way back and way down and way back, far back. And it was really kind of a frightening thing when they turned the lights out. Yeah. Now, there was a little lady in one of my churches one time. She was so precious. She had a saying for everything. And one time she said it was so dark in her neighborhood when she was growing up. There weren't any fireflies. It was dark. Dark, she said it was darker than midnight under a skillet. That's pretty dark, don't you think? But I'm so glad God broke into the darkness of my life. As a young boy, I did not have any clue why I was feeling the emptiness that I felt. And it was the fact that I was a person like many of you who had been raised and was walking in darkness because that was my natural walk. But thank God the light of God broke through in my life. And the greatest day in my life was when I gave my heart and my life to Jesus, the gift of God's light. And the light shined in darkness. The darkness could not stop it. You can go to a cave. You can light a match or light a flashlight. and the whole area where you are will be lit up. And that light will dispel the darkness all around you. People are living and walking in darkness. The darkness of a theology that doesn't match up with God's wonderful word. Hopelessness, the darkness of vanity, and the darkness of man's inability to ever meet the deepest needs of his life. You'll never make enough money. You'll never have enough stuff to meet the needs of the darkness down deep inside the soul of man. But thank God the light broke through in the person of Jesus Christ. He gave himself on Calvary's rugged cross, for our salvation. So the gift of God, the gift of God's light, the gift of God's love. For God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten Son. I was blessed. Both my mother and father and many members of our family were very free to express their love to me and my younger brother. And I grew up knowing I was loved, but I didn't know how much I was loved until I went to church in Eldridge, Crisco. Talked with Eldridge this week. He was my pastor when I was a young man. He's 98 years old now, still preaching the glorious gospel. And I want you to know the light of God broke through the message of my pastor, and I realized that Jesus was the light of the world, and he was the love of God given to man for the covering of our sin. For whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The gift of God's love. By the way, you ever wondered why God loves us? I can't answer that. Just because. God loves us because we are his, born of his will and his way. And God's got a plan for every single person here. It's God's desire that we know him and follow him and walk in the light and the love of God. For God so loved the world. The gift of God's love. Then there's the gift of God's liberty. And you shall know the truth in John 8:32, and the truth shall make you free. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I was sinking deep in sin when you used this song last week. Far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Thank God for the gift of God setting us free. You don't have to live with depression. Jesus can break the shackles of emotional debilitation. You don't have to live with fear. You don't have to live with anxiety. You can, that doesn't mean you will never have those moments, but God's a great God. He's a great physician. And he gives the gift of liberty. He gives the gift of love. He gives the gift of light. He sets the captive free. By the way, you'll never know true freedom until you know the giver of life. Mm-hmm. And principle number 4, the gift. We're talking about the gift of Christmas. The gift of light, the gift of love, the gift of liberty, the gift of hope. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Since the days of the prophets, the children of Israel have looked for the coming of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. No doubt they thought he'd come riding on a white horse. No doubt they thought he'd come as conqueror, and never dreamed he'd come as a little babe in Bethlehem's manger. God's wonderful ways are marvelous indeed. So I want you to know this morning, whatever you've bought for Christmas to give away, whatever you'll be receiving on Christmas Day, pales in comparison to what God's already given us in Christ Jesus, his Son. If you didn't get a thing for Christmas, you're rich indeed if you're a child of the living God. Yes. Lord, help us understand the gift of light, the gift of love, the gift of liberty, and the gift of hope. Because we're a child of the living God. Bow with me, would you please? With our hearts bowed.